Welcome to day 316 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland, your host from Hidden with Christ Ministries, and today we are going to be reading chapter 27 from the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 15 from the Gospel of Mark. We are reading this week from the Amplified Bible, so beginning at Matthew 27, starting at verse 1. When it was morning, all the chief priests and the elders of the people held a consultation against Jesus to put him to death. And they bound him and led him away and handed him over to Pilate the governor. When Judas, his betrayer, saw that Jesus was condemned, Judas was afflicted in mind and troubled for his former folly, and with remorse, with little more than a selfish dread of the consequences, he brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, "I have sinned in betraying innocent blood." They replied, "What is that to us? See to that yourself." And casting the pieces of silver forward into the holy place of the sanctuary of the temple, he departed, and he went off and hanged himself. But the chief priests, picking up the pieces of silver, said, "It is not legal to put these in the consecrated treasury, for it is the price of blood." So after consultation, they bought with them, the pieces of silver, the potter's field as a place in which to bury strangers. Therefore that piece of ground has been called the field of blood to the present day. Then were fulfilled the words spoken by Jeremiah the prophet when he said, "And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him on whom a price had been set by some of the sons of Israel, and they gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord directed me." Now Jesus stood before the governor, Pilate, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said to him, "You have stated the fact." But when the charges were made against him by the chief priests and elders, he made no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many and how serious are the things that they are testifying against you?" But he made no reply to him, not even to a single accusation, so that the governor marveled greatly. Now at the feast of the Passover, the governor was in the habit of setting free for the people any one prisoner whom they chose. And at that time, they had a notorious prisoner whose name was Barabbas. So when they had assembled for this purpose, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to set free for you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For he knew that it was because of envy that they had handed him over to them. Also, while he was seated on the judgment bench, his wife sent him a message saying, "Have nothing to do with that just and upright man, for I have had a painful experience today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and the elders prevailed on the people to ask for Barabbas and put Jesus to death. Again, the governor said to them, "Which of the two do you wish me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all replied, "Let him be crucified." And he said, "Why, what has he done that is evil?" But they shouted all the louder, "Let him be crucified." So when Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but rather that a riot was about to break out, he took water and washed his hands in the presence of the crowd, saying, "I am not guilty of, nor responsible for, this righteous man's blood. See to it yourselves." And all the people answered, "Let his blood be on us and on our children." So he set free for them Barabbas, and he had Jesus whipped. and delivered him up to be crucified. Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the palace, and they gathered the whole battalion about him, and they stripped off his clothes and put a scarlet robe, garment of dignity and office worn by Roman officers of rank, upon him. And, weaving a crown of thorns, they put it on his head, and put a reed staff in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they made sport of him, saying, "Hail! Greetings! Good health to you! Long life to you, King of the Jews!" And they spat on him, and took the reed staff and struck him on the head. And when they finished making sport of him, they stripped him of the robe, and put his own garments on him, and led him away to be crucified. As they were marching forth, they came upon a man of Cyrene named Simon. This man they forced to carry the cross of Jesus. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, Latin Calvary, which means the place of a skull, they offered him wine mingled with gall to drink. But when he tasted it, he refused to drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided and distributed his garments among them by casting lots, so that the prophet's saying was fulfilled, "They parted my garments among them, and over my apparel they cast lots." Then they sat down there and kept watch over him. And over his head they put the accusation against him, the cause of his death, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." At the same time, two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right hand and one on the left. And those who passed by spoke reproachfully and abusively and jeered at him, wagging their heads. And they said, "You, who would tear down the sanctuary of the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, rescue yourself from death. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests with the scribes and elders made sport of him, saying, "He rescued others from death. Himself he cannot rescue from death. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross now, and we will believe in and acknowledge and cleave to him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now if he cares for him and will have him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" And the robbers who were crucified with him also abused and reproached and made sport of him in the same way. Now from the sixth hour, noon, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour, 3 o'clock. And about the ninth hour, 3 o'clock, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is, "My God, my God, why have you abandoned me, leaving me helpless, forsaking and failing me in my need?" And some of the bystanders, when they heard it, said, "This man is calling for Elijah." And one of them immediately ran and took a sponge and soaked it with vinegar, a sour wine, and put it on a reed staff and was about to give it to him to drink. But the others said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him from death." And Jesus cried again with a loud voice and gave up his spirit. And at once the curtain of the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs were opened and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep in death were raised to life. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, observed the earthquake and all that was happening, they were terribly frightened and filled with awe and said, "Truly, this was God's Son." There were also numerous women there looking on from a distance, who were of those who had accompanied Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him. Among them were Mary of Magdala, and Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who was also a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him. And Joseph took the body and rolled it up in a clean linen cloth used for swathing dead bodies, and laid it in his own fresh, undefiled tomb, which he had hewn in the rock, and he rolled a big boulder over the door of the tomb and went away. And Mary of Magdala and the other Mary kept sitting there opposite the tomb. The next day, that is, the day after the day of preparation for the Sabbath, the chief priests and the Pharisees assembled before Pilate and said, "Sir, we have just remembered how that vagabond impostor said that while he was still alive, 'After 3 days I will rise again.' Therefore, give an order to have the tomb made secure and safeguarded until the third day, for fear that his disciples will come and steal him away and tell the people that he has risen from the dead, and the last deception and fraud will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard of soldiers. Take them and go. Make it as secure as you can." So they went off and made the tomb secure by sealing the boulder, a guard of soldiers being with them and remaining to watch. Mark chapter 15. And immediately when it was morning, the chief priests with the elders and scribes and the whole council held a consultation. And when they had bound Jesus, they took him away violently and handed him over to Pilate. And Pilate inquired of him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he replied, "It is as you say." And the chief priests kept accusing him of many things. And Pilate again asked him, "Have you no answer to make? See how many charges they are bringing against you." But Jesus made no further answer at all, so that Pilate wondered and marveled. Now at the feast, he was accustomed to set free for them any one prisoner whom they requested. And among the rioters in the prison who had committed murder in the insurrection, there was a man named Barabbas. And the throng came up and began asking Pilate to do as he usually did for them. And he replied to them, "Do you wish me to set free for you the king of the Jews?" For he was aware that it was because they were prompted by envy that the chief priests had delivered him up. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to get him to release for them Barabbas instead. And again Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with the man whom you call the king of the Jews?" And they shouted back again, "Crucify him!" But Pilate said to them, "Why, what has he done that is evil?" But they shouted with all their might, all the more, "Crucify him at once!" So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, set Barabbas free for them, and after having Jesus whipped, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers led him away to the courtyard inside the palace, that is, the praetorium, and they called the entire detachment of soldiers together. And they dressed him in a purple robe, and weaving together a crown of thorns, they placed it on him, and they began to salute him. "Hail, greetings, good health to you, long life to you, King of the Jews." And they struck his head with a staff made of a bamboo-like reed and spat on him and kept bowing their knees in homage to him. And when they had finished making sport of him, they took the purple robe off of him and put his own clothes on him. and they led him out of the city to crucify him. And they forced a passerby, Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus, who was coming in from the field country to carry his cross, and they led him to Golgotha, in Latin, Calvary, meaning the place of a skull. And they attempted to give him wine mingled with myrrh, but he would not take it. And they crucified him, and they divided his garments and distributed them among themselves, throwing lots for them to decide who should take what. And it was the third hour, about 9 o'clock in the morning, when they crucified him. And the inscription of the accusation against him was written above, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two robbers, one on his right hand and one on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, "He was counted among the transgressors." And those who passed by kept reviling him and reproaching him abusively in harsh and insolent language, wagging their heads and saying, "Aha, you who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, now rescue yourself from death, coming down from the cross." So also the chief priests with the scribes made sport of him to one another, saying, "He rescued others from death. Ha! Himself he is unable to rescue. Let the Christ, the Messiah, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross that we may see it and trust in and rely on him and adhere to him." Those who were crucified with him also reviled and reproached him, speaking abusively, harshly, and insolently. And when the sixth hour, about midday, had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, about 3 o'clock. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" deserting me and leaving me helpless and abandoned. And some of those standing by and hearing it said, "See, he is calling Elijah." And one man ran and, filling a sponge with vinegar, a mixture of sour wine and water, put it on a staff made of a bamboo-like reed and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Hold off. Let us see whether Elijah does come to take him down." And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed out his life. And the curtain of the Holy of Holies of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who was facing him saw him expire this way, he said, "Really, this man was God's son." Now some women were there also, looking on from a distance, among whom were Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James the younger, and of Joseph, and Salome, who, when Jesus was in Galilee, were in the habit of accompanying and ministering to him. And there were also many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem. As evening had already come, since it was the day of preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph, he of Arimathea, noble and honorable in rank and a respected member of the council, Sanhedrin, who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, daring the consequences, took courage and ventured to go to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. But Pilate wondered whether he was dead so soon, and having called the centurion, he asked him whether Jesus was already dead. And when he learned from the centurion that he was indeed dead, he gave the body to Joseph. And Joseph bought a fine linen cloth for swathing dead bodies, and taking him down from the cross, he rolled him up in the fine linen cloth and placed him in a tomb which had been hewn out of a rock. Then he rolled a very large stone against the door of the tomb. and Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, were attentively observing where he was laid. This is the end of today's scripture reading.
Before we move on to today's devotional, I wanted to let you know about some other free resources available to you from Hidden with Christ Ministries. We have a weekly teaching called Word for Wednesday, available on video through YouTube, or as an audio podcast available on all the major podcasting platforms. Just type in Word for Wednesday, Rita Langland, on YouTube or on your favorite podcast channel, or you can visit our website at hiddenwithchrist.org to find a library of hundreds of Bible teachings by yours truly, Rita Langland. And now let's continue with today's devotional.
In today's reading, we heard the story of the crucifixion of Christ, the very reason for which Jesus came to the earth, to give himself up as a ransom for many. And this was the subject, essentially, of today's two chapters. But there's something here that I want to bring to your attention, and it's the human side of this story leading up to Jesus' crucifixion. We know that the God side of this story is that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son to the earth for the purpose that many would be saved. But there were human players involved in this story that had responsibility, essentially, in the events that culminated in the crucifixion of Jesus. We had the leaders of the Jews, the religious leaders, who were so envious of Jesus that they wanted to put an end to his ministry because so many people were going after him and leaving the teaching of the scribes and the Pharisees and spending all their time pursuing, listening to the teaching of Jesus. And it was so obvious that envy was behind their pursuit of Jesus being arrested that even Pilate, the governor, knew it. We read here in Matthew 27, verse 18, "For he knew that it was because of envy that they had handed him over to him." And this was a reference to Pilate knowing that this was why the leaders of the Jews had handed him over. So we see this human sin of envy playing a part in this horrific story of the crucifixion of the Son of God. Though it was indeed God's will, there were human beings involved in the betrayal of Jesus. We know that Judas, who had been Jesus' disciple, betrayed him. And many people debate the reason why Judas did it. Certainly, money was a piece of the story because he asked the leaders of the Jews, "How much will you give me if I find a way to turn him over to you?" And they agreed on a price that had been prophesied hundreds of years before, 30 pieces of silver. And that was certainly one part of it. But why would Judas, who had walked with Jesus, who had seen the miracles that he did, who had even participated in the ministry, had had a part in it, the scripture says. And when Jesus sent them out two by two and the demons were responding to them because of the name of Jesus and they were healing the sick, and even Judas was a part of that ministry for a season. Why would a man who'd had such an experience with Christ turn and betray him? Well, many scholars have debated that Judas was disappointed when he realized that Jesus wasn't going to fulfill their political aspirations of him becoming a leader that would cast off the yoke of the Roman oppression and somehow get rid of the Romans for them and restore Jewish sovereignty, and that in his disillusionment with Jesus over that issue, that he went to the Jews, and because he knew they were envious of him and he knew that they wanted to have him arrested, and that perhaps Judas thought he would force Jesus' hand, that once he was arrested, he would have to make a move to take over the leadership in whatever way, using supernatural power, whatever method they imagined Jesus would use to restore Palestine to Jewish control. But we know that Judas got the revelation that Jesus wasn't going to do that. The scripture tells us in Matthew 27:3, when Judas, his betrayer, saw that Jesus was condemned, Judas was afflicted in mind and troubled for his former folly, and with remorse, he brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the priests and the elders, saying, "I've sinned in betraying innocent blood." He realized Jesus wasn't going to stand up for himself and call angels out of heaven to fight against these Romans. He wasn't going to do anything. He was going to allow himself to be condemned to death. He was going to walk it out. He was going to allow them to crucify him. And when he realized this wasn't going to work, it wasn't going to turn out the way he thought, he had some remorse. And he ran back to them and said, "Hey, I was wrong. I betrayed innocent blood." And they're like, "Who cares? What's it to us? Go see to that yourself." And Judas was so distraught that he hung himself. He didn't even have enough confidence in what he had learned from Jesus of his grace and forgiveness to trust Jesus that he could be forgiven even for that betrayal. But instead, he didn't trust Jesus to that extent, and he committed suicide. But what drove Judas? Was it greed for money? He certainly had a problem with money, we know, because the scripture tells us that he was the keeper of the purse and he used to steal the money out of it. So we know he had a greed issue. So greed was somewhat behind it, maybe greed for power, because if he was thinking Jesus was going to be a political hero for him, he wanted to be in on that, and he was frustrated he wasn't getting that. And so he betrayed Jesus, hoping that it would force Jesus to do something that he was hoping would be done. So whether it was greed or hunger for power or just control issues, Judas's human nature, his sin nature, drove him to have a part in this betrayal that led to the crucifixion of Jesus. So we see the sinful envy of the religious leaders. We see the greedy political aspirations of Judas. And then we see Pilate, the governor, who is more afraid of the people, has more fear of man than he has fear of God. He is presented with this case, which he knows only was brought to him because of envy. So he knew the background was completely corrupt. The reason that this man was arrested and condemned was corruption on the part of the religious leaders. So he knew it was unjust. And then the crowd begins to put pressure on him because they had been stirred up by the religious leaders. So they start putting pressure on him. He's trying to get out of it by hoping to release Jesus as the favor that he normally did at the Passover, because he was in the habit of setting free for the people any one prisoner that they chose. That was his little gift during Passover to the Jews, to keep himself in good stead with the people. But it backfired on him because the religious leaders stirred up the crowd to ask for Jesus. In fact, he even presented the option of Barabbas or Jesus. Barabbas was a known murderer. He thought there's no way they're going to ask for him to be released. But again, it backfired because the religious leaders had stirred the crowd up, probably paid some of them off so that they would all cry Jesus instead of Barabbas. So now he was in deep water, and he knew Jesus was a just man. He said, "What evil has he done? He's trying to defend him." And not only that, I believe the Lord gave him a chance, another encouragement to do what was right, because his wife has a dream that showed her that Jesus was a just and upright man. She sends him a message while he's on the judgment seat saying, "Have nothing to do with that just and upright man, for I've had this painful experience in a dream because of him." So Pilate had the information. He knew he was a just man. He knew he was not guilty of anything. He knew the religious leaders turned him over because of envy. He could have said, "I'll have nothing to do with this." And yet, he bowed to people pressure. He bowed to the fear of man. And the fear of man, the scripture says, brings a snare. And it absolutely brought a snare to Pilate's life. In fact, I feel that the fear of man is one of the biggest enemies that we have to beware of, because the fear of man will have you doing things you should not do, and the fear of man will have you not do things you should do. In this case, Pilate should not have agreed to allow Jesus to be crucified. He should have stayed out of it so that he would have been truly innocent of Jesus's blood. And I believe the Lord even gave him the chance by making sure he was aware that he was not an ungodly person. Yet Pilate bowed to that pressure of the fear of man. He didn't want the crowds mad at him. He saw things were getting worked up. He's about to have a riot break out. And so he just washes his hands and says, "I'm not guilty for this righteous man's blood. See to it yourselves." But he was guilty. He was the authority. He could have stopped the whole thing. Yet he did not. He just allowed it by default. And so by doing that, his blood was on his head. So he had guilt in this. The religious leaders had guilt in this. Judas had guilt in this. And in everything that happens on the earth, even the things that are God's will, such as it was God's will that Jesus go to the cross, there's always human players in the mix, and their part in it will be held accountable, whatever part they had in it. And that's why I bring to your attention these three particular sins of the flesh that these different men bowed to that brought them into guilt for the crucifixion of Jesus. First of all, the envy that drove the religious leaders to try to destroy Jesus. Secondly, the greed of Judas. And thirdly, the fear of man of Pilate. That all contributed to the Son of God being nailed to a cross. All of these sins, they're representative of the sins of mankind that brought Jesus to the cross. And we have to always beware of our own hearts in every situation. Is there a situation where envy is pushing you to do things or say things that are ungodly? Maybe you're speaking against a coworker because they're getting a promotion and you are not. That envy pushes you to sin with your mouth, sin with your heart. Is there any situation where greed or desire for control is pushing you to do things or say things that are ungodly and going to definitely create problems in your life and in the life of other people? Is there any situation in your life where you're allowing fear of man, afraid of what people will think of you, of what you're doing or what you're saying, that causes you to refrain from doing something you should do or causes you to do something you should not do? These are all things that we need to look at in our own lives. And when we see them, ask the Lord to help us. Say, God, forgive me. I see I'm doing that. I see I'm acting that way at work because I'm afraid of what other people will think, or I'm envious of what someone else is blessing, their promotion, their success. When you see that, immediately stop and say, Father, forgive me. I don't want to fall into that same pattern that these men we see here in the gospel, the same sin they fell into, nailed Jesus to the cross. It's the same sins. We need God's help in our lives. We want to be people of honor in every area, and we want to be people that glorify God in our daily life. The beautiful story of the crucifixion is that Jesus willingly went to the cross to bear the price, bear the punishment, bear the cost of all of our sins, past, present, and future. And in his love and by his grace, he has paid the price for our sins. So if you find yourself stumbling in these areas that I just described, simply go to him and ask his forgiveness. He's so full of grace. He died for you that you might be free, that you might be cleansed of every sin, past, present, and future. And then let him help you walk in your life free of envy, free of greed or desire for control, free of the fear of man, just honoring and loving and desiring to please God above all things. God bless you and give you a victorious week.
If you have enjoyed My Everyday Bible, please share it with others. It's our heart to get the Word of God out around the world. If you'd like to help us continue this work, you can make a donation through this app or on our website at myeverydaybible.com. You can also mail a check to Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 745, Forest, Virginia, 24551. And don't forget to check out our free library of Bible teachings at hiddenwithchrist.org. We believe you will be blessed because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.